The other night I talked to you about the time being fulfilled.
You know, when you know something that God has been good enough to give to you, you're very grateful. In the world, men study and they go to college and they spend time reading books. Day and night they study, and the Bible said they're ever learning. And they never find out the truth. They never come to the knowledge of the truth. Though they learn in all colleges and all kind of places, they never come to the knowledge of the truth. And there is a truth knowledge that we need to come to know the right thing. But there is a knowledge that comes from God. Solomon spoke of searching till you find the knowledge of God. And this you do not merit. It's something that Christ has given you. The Bible said that you can't receive anything save it be given you of God. And there is something that God gives you. So then when you have received a knowledge or something that God has given you, you are very grateful. And you desire that ye should share it with others, want to share it. And you can. But when it comes to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is so deep, it is so great, it is so high, it is so mighty, great is the mystery. And the Bible said this being higher above our heads in the heavens is the earth. That is, there's no possible way. All of the learning in the world from the time that learning started back in the beginning of the world, even until the consummation of the world, all of the learning that has been from the beginning of the world and will continue to the end of the world, when it is finished, it doesn't even touch the revelation. Did you know that out of all of the learning from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, all colleges, all professors, all students, all study, all books, all knowledge, all understanding, from the beginning of the world to the end, you get it all, if that was possible. And in getting it all, you never get one tiny little speck of the knowledge of God or the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, you don't know that. Yeah, I would be foolish to get up here and talk about something I don't know and something I don't understand. And I'd be a fool to tell you something that I was guessing at. I certainly wouldn't want a physician operating on me if he was guessing and he thought he knew something. I wouldn't want to be caught in a concoction like that. But what I'm telling you is absolutely a profound fact. And the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. So if I am a liar, then I have a part in the lake of fire. And I am a liar and I am a fool to be a liar in the light of what I have been made to understand. And as I say, my subjects are the greater fool because they follow me in that I am a fool. But Paul said, if I'm a fool, I'm a fool for Christ. What I tell you about that is absolutely the profound fact. Not one tiny little jot or iota out of all of it have, not one tiny little speck will you have found of this wonderful thing that we're talking about. For God hath hid it. Now, if you have found it, then you can stand up and call me a liar. But the Bible said he hid it. And he hid it in such a way that it is higher above. Now, they've never been able to find the top. They've gone and they've gone and they've sent their ranges and they've sent all kinds of things out to planets. And for many thousands of miles, but they've never found the top. And consequently, they've never found the bottom. And they have determined that this world is a little ball floating around that doesn't have a foundation. But the Bible said that Abraham sought a city whose builder and maker is God that did have a foundation. But with all of their learning, they've never found a foundation for their learning. They're just drifting and ever learning and never having a foundation as to come to the knowledge of the truth. So out there is the bottomless pit. You move on out into infinity. You move on and on and on, ever learning, ever learning. And then when you finally reach your ultimatum of learning, you realize that you have been listening to devils and demons, and that they have been using your body and they have been using your day of grace that you turned into lasciviousness through the lavishly sporting of your money and wealth. And that you are then in captivity as to the bondage of your human element and human desire and human ego as to passions and money and all of the things of the world. And that at the very moment when you should excel and become something, your reward is as it was Einstein, and that's the bottomless pit. Let's give the Lord a hand. Somebody says, what makes you think that? Well, Einstein acknowledged the Lord before his death, but there's no record that I know of where he ever gave his heart to God. God used him, and I understand he did tell him that he'd be able to contact him over there and talk like he'd be back, but it's been a long time, and they haven't had any contacts yet, and he hadn't got back. So all of his brilliance spelled nothing. Nothing. Paul, with all of his learning after sitting at the feet of Gamaliel and being religiously taught and all of the other things as to your religions of today, your intellectual concept of God, when he finally finished, he said that he had found out what he was. And rather than say, I've just learned that I'm nothing, he said, I've determined that I'm less than nothing. So he said, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. And I said, well, Lord, what could be less than nothing? Or how is it that one is nothing? But if you're born of Adam and if you're dead with Jesus at Calvary, then that means you passed away, and that means that you're nothing, and that means that you don't exist at all. You are not existent anymore because you passed away because of sin. And not only did you pass away as to be dead and be in the grave, as to be what one would term nothing, but you passed away and went into oblivion to where there was no more remembrance of you to never again be. And not even a remembrance anymore. So at least you can term a memory as something. Even though we say that's really nothing, but there is a something, as we would term it, that is less than nothing. So it's a true fact that when you learn and you learn and do all the things that you've done, all you've done in your lifetime is all the generations put together, is follow the plan of God to this extent that he creates the good and evil, has his way in both, works all things after the counsel of his own will. And Adam, having failed from that lofty state of that wonderful, wonderful image and glory of his Shekinah, God allowed a devil to get into the human body with an ego to get back into the wonderful garden of God, in that the expulsion took him out and put him on his belly. And he has struggled through his intellectual geniusy to try to find that heavenly way of life ever since, having been made the ruler of ignorance as to intellectual darkness, not being able to find his way and ever learning as to his intellectual institutions. And he has squirmed and wiggled around, as we say, in this world with his crooked path until he hath climbed up into the upper lintel and he hath got into the presence of God's glory to the extent of the outpouring, as in the days of Job when the sons of God came to present themselves. He came also, or that is to say, because of grace that's given as to the blood being on the seat of atonement, then it allows blood life to continue for a period of time, and their sins are taken away for a period of time, which would take a lot of explaining as to the revelational detail of it. And as long as the blood is on the seat of atonement, blood life will be able to come into his presence, and as of the day they're still in his presence. From whence cometh thou, Satan? He said, from going to and fro in the earth. And so, as I say, when sons of God come to present themselves, then the bodies of Lucifer comes also. as to Jesus saying, there are the sons of the devil and Satan living within them. And they're doing the will of the devil, but they still come to give an account. Just like Abel came to give an account, Cain came to give an account. And you have to come to give an account because you can't escape. Because the rain is on the tare and the wheat, and the only way you can stay alive is by the rain. And if God withdraws, then even the tare can't stay alive. So being angry with the wicked every day, but giving grace to the extent that it is not to the wicked, in that he's angry with the wicked every day, but it is to his children that are caught in that is the corruption of the world. And he must allow for the unredeemed, the unchanged body. When I say unredeemed, not unredeemed as to the price that's paid to the purchased possession, which will come to the Thessalonian change, but rather the unredeemed in that you have not wit the redemption of your body, and the unchanged in that it must come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So the grace then is not to the wicked, the grace is to the righteous. And the Bible said when the gospel is gone into all the world and every creature has heard the gospel, then the ones that will not have come out by that time will be counted part of the wicked and all will be destroyed together. But by that time, the righteous, as to them that come to the knowledge of the truth and hear it, will have come out from among them to be a separate people. And you will find all of a sudden that God will that quick destroy the wicked. For the Bible tells us, the minister said, and the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, God rained fire and brimstone down upon it. So his reward to the wicked is the very day that the church goes out, the wrath of God is turned on the earth. And the only preservation, even through the tribulation period, is the fact that there will be the Jews. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and notable day of the Lord come, that shall burn as an oven as to his wrath, that will turn the wicked into ashes, with ashes which he shall tread under your feet. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the father, fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Or that is to say, at the translation of the church, I will at that same time as the church goes out, I'll send Moses and Elijah, and they will tutor and preach to the Jews, and the Jews will be converted as to the priesthood back to the children, and the children as respect back to the fathers. For when they repent, when Elijah and Moses reproves them, the children will come back to them as to the children of Israel, and they will then be as the salt in the earth, in that the church is the salt of the earth. When the salt is gone, the meat spoils. But to keep from smiting the earth, he will bring the Jew in during that tribulation period so that he can finish his program and his plan, and he will have reason to preserve the earth. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord come, that he might turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers back to the children, lest I should come and smite the earth with a curse. So when the church goes out, he has no reason, nothing that can preserve the earth, his wrath will automatically come, except for the fact that he will bring in the Jew as to bring in the law and the redemption of the body. And my, so many beautiful things that could be said about that. But let's read over the book of Revelation chapter 8 and just talk about a few little things, because things are getting closer and closer all the time. Like the song we wrote many years ago out in the West, when we was walking down a little old dusty road one day and the Lord spoke to us, destruction is getting nearer all the time. On this great Titanic, friend, there's trouble up ahead, for destruction is getting closer all the time. Chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which come with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, right there, if I read that much and then begin to explain as to a little teaching and a little tutoring, Paul said being a teacher and a preacher, then it would take quite a long time to be able to program your mind as to project these things into your thinking in an order to where you could understand what is meant by this when the spirit of light begins to revelate. And we have, sporadically speaking, said many things about this as on tapes a little bit in kind of a spastic sort of a way. But it would take a lot of listening as to those tapes during the time that we've expounded this to put it all together. So I don't have time to really explain that. If I take time to explain that, then I won't have time to say anything else. I'm limited as to the services, as I say so often. And I know you don't understand that, and I don't expect you to. I just say it anyway. But then it goes on to say that the seven angels, they sounded. One at a time, they sounded. Now, I'm just going to try to pick up a little piece here and there and try to place it together, just a little something to program your mind with it. And I could tell since, as to this morning service, and even tonight, I can feel a stirring and a hunger. I can feel you being moved a little. After we stayed away the other night, was late coming, it seemed to change a little bit. And or either you've taken on the fear of God or the reverence or respect of God or something, and beginning to realize that you're playing around, and I can feel you once again beginning to be stirred in your heart. Well, when that happens, then the revelation of the Lord Jesus flows like honey down from the mountain. But still, we are limited even then because of the time element that's involved, because we don't have time to really get into revelation. And when I do get into revelation a little bit, it takes at least another hour or more of your time as to your services. And when I find a real staunch move of God as to enough people that he hath captivated their attention and he hath locked them in for his own purpose, then I stretch out a little bit and go a little farther and hold you a little longer. But otherwise, I just try to go along at random and I don't try to bother you with it. I love it. I love it. This morning about 3 o'clock, I guess it was, when I started to get off my knees, I thought, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to lay down a little bit. And then I heard something say, well, what about a certain person? And being troubled about that certain person, as I mentioned to my wife, I thought, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. So then we had to go back and we had to wait. You know, we couldn't do that. And that's the way it is. See, I love it. I just love it. It is my very life. And around about 5 o'clock or a little after then, I felt relief. But the thing is, when you come here, and I come here, the thing is, whether or not you love it. See, if I spend all night long because I love it, and then I come here and you give me 45 minutes to tell you all about it, then there's going to be a complication, there's going to be a problem. And this is where the problem is. This is where the hang-up is, as they say in the world. So I can't very well say anything here other than the fact I've told you about seven angelic messengers as fixing to sound a trumpet. And I'm telling you this because it's written in the book of Revelation. And it said concerning this book that if anyone adds anything to this, the plagues of this book shall be added unto him. And if anybody takes anything out of this book, then his part shall be taken out of the book of life. So it's a very delicate situation. And it means that you need to be a minister, and you need to be a true minister of God if you're going to mess with it at all. Otherwise, it's kind of like playing Russian roulette, you know, blowing your brains out. You'd be better off. because you get the Lord upset. So then I can't say anything unless he says it as to this, because he's the only one that knows it. Since man has never learned anything about it with all of his studies. I might stop here just for a moment and say this. I was reading a few things the other day. Our great colleges and different things that you hear me speak so lightly of, and I say degrading things about them. And to say the least, the things that I say that degrades them, the half hasn't been told. There are 10 times 10 or worse than that. So your schools and your colleges is now a cage of every unclean and hateful bird and a pit of iniquity. And it is filthy through their streaking and all of their corrupt mannerism. And the devil has taken them to their gold. He promised to strip them down like prostitutes and whoremongers. And he promised to steal the virtues. And he promised that if they'd paint their face and project their bodies, that he'd make them less than dogs and less than pigs in the earth. And he hath greatly rewarded them accordingly. And they are now a bunch of freaks and dope addicts and intellectuals that's running across the earth that is fixing to come into power, because those same freakish people that you see is going to be your president and going to be your senators and going to be your sheriffs and going to be your rulers. And them same freakish men that are not fit to pick up out in the road, and the women the same, are going to be married to one another as whoremongers and prostitutes. And the whole generation will be diagnosed by God as a sinful, adulterous generation, living like animals. So somebody said, well, I understand. You understand, all right. You're like that little kitten I spoke about this morning. You're caught within the confines of your little bitty finite way and mind, like a computer that's all out of control, and you can't reach from here to there. It's from point B, A to point B. Somebody says, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean, you don't have a professor in the earth. You don't have a learned man in the earth. Einstein had not even got out of his diapers. And yet, he was your great. He was your chief. He was your leader. See, and now God, the great God Almighty, that's tried to make you of a good understanding, that told Israel that when you go into Canaan, you'll be of a good understanding because I'm going to be with you. And that said, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon him that serves God and make him of a good understanding. And as Stephen, when they could not withstand the wisdom by which he spake, and saw his face as that of an angel. And as Jesus, just a little boy that confounded the great and the mighty scholars. And they said, how do you know, never having learned? Well, anyway, it's like Martin Luther, the great reformist that started the Protestant church, or the word means protesting against the Catholic religion, when he defied the Council of Worms. See, starting what we have as the Protestant age, he said, I fear that the colleges and the schools and the institutions of learning, if they're not careful because of the evasion as to the word of the Lord, that they will become the gates of hell, and they sure have become the gates of hell. He hit it just right. And in the institutions at one time was great, mighty institutions of learning and of culture, and that produced great men like Washington and Lincoln and great, mighty gentlemen and ladies, and taught them how to dress, properly dress and whatever. They were instigated of God. They were oriented in the things of God. They were rooted in the things of God. And even some of the things that I've read in the past of them, of some of the little mottos that they had and the things that they had, I'd like to bring them here sometimes and read them to you. Of how that it was the preeminence among all the people as to this being a positive thing of absolute and a guideline. And it was stated, and they shall love the Lord, and they shall follow the Lord, and they shall do what the Lord. I'm talking about your top colleges, your leading institution that you admire even today in California and around the world. But today, they have changed that. Today, they have done away with that. And as it is in the denominational world as to the churchism, whereas the Bible teaches that she one time was a great, wonderful thing, and the elect lady was there. But now everything good has been driven out as to your government. It was one time good, and great God-fearing men, according to history, set it up. Well, the liberty and justice for all, but with the addendums, the amendments, and all these other things as to make way for the devils and demons, as to the serpent having climbed up into the upper lintel, getting his hold and setting himself above government through the grace of God as to the blood on the seat of atonement, that is for a dispensational period. Now it is corrupt. It is very corrupt. And so then, as to the Constitution, it is a terrible situation. And as to the churches, at one time was some fine institutions for God. The Bible refers to them in the latter times as to the latter end, saying, and now they have become cages. They're not churches anymore, but they have become cages. And not only cages, but cages of every unclean and hateful birds, in that birds represent evil spirits. They're no longer saints of God and the precious moving of the holy angelic choir as to them that minister to saints of God as the angels of purity, but they are now people who have brought all kind of things into the church as ball games and sports and all of these practices, seeking prestige and wanting to be elite in the world and draw the money and the attention, and like a bunch of beggars peddling and selling their very soul for a morsel of bread. And now the Lord says to come out from among them and be a separate people, for she hath a name that she lived, but yet she's dead. And the great whore, I have cast her into a bed of adultery, and in the end I will burn her children with fire. And sure enough, all that's being born and all that's coming into the world with these institutions and coming up through them, though they think they're on their way to heaven, yet the Bible teaches that God hath reserved the lake of fire to burn them because they are children of the great Hoah. And as the Pope said as to the charismatic order a few days ago, I'm glad that my children are coming back home. So she is now a cage of every unclean and hateful spirit, evil spirits of everything of the world and the love of the world and the corruption and practice, and the Bible said, and their thoughts are continually evil. To find one that's good, he said, no, not one. Not one. So then in this little bit that we read here, it's chapter 8, getting into the book of Revelation. Now, all I'm going to be able to do is just talk to you just a few minutes on these things, because it wouldn't be no time to really get into nothing. But notice now, this says, and when he had opened the seventh seal. And all of a sudden now there are seven angels with seven trumpets. And then it goes on a little farther, and then it says, and there's seven more angels with the seven last vials of the wrath of God to be poured out upon the earth. And with these seven trumpets, it's bad enough. For with the seven trumpets, it brings the opening of the bottomless pit. The stars fall from heaven, the locusts is upon the earth, and the sting to torment men. And they gnaw their tongues with pain for darkness, because the sun is smitten and the moon is smitten, as the moon turns into blood and the waters turn into wormwood. And all of these horrible situations. And following that, then there comes the mighty angel on the land and the sea. And following that, we say, and when he had opened the seventh seal, which is the last of the seven seals, there was silence in heaven for about the space of half an hour. Then there's seven angels, and all of a sudden in Revelation 11:15, there's a sounding of a trumpet as to the last trumpet that is sounding. And with that, the kingdoms of this world suddenly becomes the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and the wicked and the careless and the unconcerned and those that have not served the Lord are then turned into hell. David said, I saw them go to the house of God. I saw them leave the house of God. He said, and then I saw them turned into hell. So when I say something about the seven seals, I'm going to comment just a little bit, just for a few minutes here, on the seven seals. And the seven seals, the seventh seal was open. I spoke about this a time or two in a sporadic way. And I spoke of these seals having to do with a book. Because in the hands of him that sit upon the throne was a book filled with seven seals. And before him stood a lamb full of eyes. And the Bible said this lamb came and took the book. Everybody in heaven was watching. Everything in heaven was gathered around the throne. Even the kings that sat round about the throne, they were watching. And there was a voice as John was in travail, because no one in heaven nor in the earth nor under the earth was found worthy to loose the seals, to open the book, to look thereon. And that book being the book of redemption. All of a sudden, there was a voice said, as John wept bitterly, weep not, John, for there is one that hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And it was said, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures by the way? And he was there to loose the seals and open the book. And then we have to remember that when we say book, as of that day, it was a scroll. And it was a scroll that was rolled and sealed. And then another scroll over it, rolled and sealed. And then another scroll over it under the seven, rolled and sealed. And that one had to be broken as to see what the scroll had to say. And Jesus arose as a lamb when it was said, the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seal there and to look thereon. And all of a sudden, while everybody was looking for a lamb came forth and took the book and began to open the seals. So then in opening the seals, he opened one seal and a white horse and the second seal. And there was a red horse and the third seal, and there was a black horse and the fourth seal. And there was a pale horse, and the fifth seals and souls under the altars were seen. And the six seals in the heavens rolled back like a scroll, and then now we're saying here, and the seventh seal was open. So then in the sixth seal, when the heavens rolled back like a scroll, the sign of the Son of Man was seen in heaven. And the Bible said all of the tribes of the earth mourned. They did not act haughty, nor did they sit as a judge to say, I understand, no matter what you say. But they fell down, they screamed, they ran for the caves with all of their great understanding, with all of their great geniusy, with all of their great power, and their atomic bombs, and all of their knowledge, and all of their technology. Everybody suddenly realized that they didn't know nothing. And they run for the caves, and they run for the mountains, and they throw their money to the bat, the billionaires and the millionaires. They throw their money to the bats, and they scream for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, just to hide them from the face of his appearing. For the Bible said, the day of the Lord has come, the great day of his wrath is at hand, and who shall be able to stand? And they scream for the mountains to fall on them. They thought it better that the mountains fall upon them than to have to face them. But every one of us, beloved friend, is going to face him. So in our little exhortation tonight, we see then that with the sixth seal, this happened. When it was opened, then there appeared the sign of the Son of Man. And suddenly, it was as though a fig tree with untimely figs was shaken. And those untimely figs, out of season, began to fall. The Bible said, as it was with the fig tree, so the stars fell from heaven like a tree that was being shaken. So then we know that the tribulation had come.
We know that the tribulation had set in. So then that makes us to understand that with that 30 minutes of silence in heaven, that it obviously was the blood coming off of the seat of atonement and the end of the days of the Gentiles. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I want to know when the end of the days of the Gentiles is coming. I don't know when the end of the days of the Gentiles is coming. As it was with the Jew, he left them desolate. And this, beloved friend, in the 8th chapter, if you'll read it, that's the end of the days of the Gentiles. So the door opened in heaven in the 4th chapter, and John went up and he saw the throne, he saw these things, he saw the book, he saw the seals open, and as the Lamb opened them, coming over to the 8th chapter, as to in the 7th seal, we see the end, and we see the trumpets sounding that brings the judgment of the stars falling and all of these things happening, because here he sits as the Son of Man, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all these things start happening and they run for the mountains. See, and they have to drink blood when they go to drink water, because he turned the streams into blood, for a voice cried out, they are worthy, O Lord, give them blood to drink, because they spilt the blood of the martyrs. And everything was turned into wormwood, and the Bible said, and the waters was bitter. So when this star fell from heaven, which has to do with angelic beings, when you say a star falls from heaven, there's a natural heaven, there's a natural star. There is a physical heaven, there's a physical star. There's a spiritual heaven, there's a spiritual star. And this was a bitter angel that came down as to being cast out. When the devils and demons are cast out with the passing away of the heavens and the stars falling, it indicates war in heaven, where Lucifer curled his tail around a third part of the stars and cast them down to earth. It is the time of the great war of the angel Michael, and the fight in heaven, and the man-child going up to the third heaven, and the war in heaven, which you see as a symbolic thing over in California. We had made the statement of this horrible thing taking place in California, because that's the land of the stars, and that's the land of the frolic, and many, many things that could be said about the settling of California during the days of the gold rush. So now the stars are falling, and we made the statement that in the Senate they would fall, and that in Hollywood they would fall, that is, die out, be overthrown, corruption, that in the sports world they would be found corrupt, and they would fall, and in the church the leaders would be found corrupt, and they would fall, because there is a natural heaven, there is a physical heaven, there's a spiritual heaven, there's a first heaven, there's a second heaven, there's a third heaven. As in school, you're taught the first power, the second power, the third power. And if you understand Revelation, I'm sure that you've done it. If you do not understand Revelation, then you've never done as the children in school when they figure something and they run it from the first power in their numerical order, or in this world of learning when it comes to the things of geometry and the other kind of things that they study, formulas and whatever. But in the Revelation, we've done that by the Spirit of God in understanding those natural things that represent the spiritual things, and God telling us how to do that and the way to do that and why they did that. And we've run it from the first power, and then we'd run it to the second power, and then we'd run it to the third power. And it's really fascinating. It's exciting. It's thrilling. And it makes the whole world like a junkyard. All of this thing they call education is nothing but a lot of garbage. And Paul said, all of the things you have is to the wealth of the world, and your diplomacies and all of these things of sports and awards and all of the dignitaries of the earth and all of these things as to celebrities and those that seem to be somewhat, he said, it's all beggarly elements and not to be compared to the heavenly treasure which true children of God have in their earthen vessel, which must be made manifest in their mortal genes as the life of Christ. And where the Bible says, and in doing this time, that the very sun will not be able to shine because of the brightness of this glory that will so excel that it will make the sun go out altogether. So it is evident, as he said, that there is no comparison as to the glory that is to be revealed within you at the coming of the Lord, and everyone that hath this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. All right, so we see then in the sixth seal, the opening, and with the opening, the Lord's appearing, and with the appearing, the stars falling from heaven, the trumpet sounding as the angels around him, as he is there, and they come out from the throne, and they sound, kind of like the little picture that we've got on the seal. And with this, all of a sudden, everything goes into chaos. And about that time in the sixth seal, just before the chaos, it is said that there are four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, I know, you know, scientists say that the world is round, and I understand that. I understand that. Just like about Joshua, when they speak about Joshua making the sun to stand still, that it is ignorance because of the world turning and the sun not moving. But nevertheless, it did stand still. And as to the four corners of the earth, these angels were standing on the four corners of the earth. And it was said unto them, see that ye hurt not the earth, nor anything in the earth, until the servants of our God are sealed in their foreheads, whereas the Jews are called servants. And so then, in sealing them in their forehead, as to the name Jesus, before Antichrist can seal his subjects in their head with the 666, he seals them. And there are sealed 144,000 of the whole household of Jacob. That is to say, Jacob who wrestled with the angel, his name being changed from Jacob to Israel. And out of there comes 12 sons as to typify the 12 apostles, and that Jacob was a type of Jesus. And then there comes the sealing as to the 144,000, which was the house of Israel or the children of Jacob. And as the Bible said, it is written, out of Zion shall go forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. And Paul tells us in his teaching, in Isaac shall the seed be called, and Isaac as to Jacob, and Esau as to the son, and Jacob carrying on the Isaac as to Abraham the father of the faithful. And so then in this we see the seed of Isaac. And Paul said, and this is to tell you that all that came out of Egypt was not of God, but in Isaac the seed shall be called. And he said, and this is to tell you, even at the present time when he was preaching, that all of these that are referred to as Jews are not Christians. He said, these are not children of God, but these that are accounted for in faithful Abraham, in that salvation is by faith, and the covenant was by faith, that faith was to be imputed unto them for righteousness. Well, anyway, let's say a few more words here because we're just about ready to close now because we've done took up about all the time. So in the sixth seal, what do we see? Those angels are holding back the four winds of the earth. And I said this before. I sometimes term them as the four seas to make it easy to understand. And we go to the east and we find one of the seas. And that sea is called Christianity, for salvation is of the Jew, and being called Christians first in the east at Antioch, then they become known as Christ-like, which means Christianity. Or to say that you are a Christian is to testify that you are Christ-like. So if you say that I'm a Christian and you don't do the works of the Lord and you don't live like the Lord, then you're not a Christian, for the child is known by his doings, and they were called Christians because of their doings, which was Christ-like. So in the east, there's one of the seas as to the wind of doctrine. Was the Bible said, it's a good thing that the heart be established in that in the present day truth, that it be not blown about by every wind of doctrine. So here we see a sea, and then when we look to the north, we see another sea. That is a wind of doctrine called communism on another corner of the earth. And then, and strangely enough, the apostles went to all these places, even Russia. That's why they're in heathenism today. Like Thomas that went over in India. And I saw the cathedrals that was built from the ministry of one of the apostles that went into Russia. Have not his words gone into all the earth, but who hath believed our report? So then we see communism, another wind of doctrine that's been powerful and strong. Someone would say, well, communism has been overthrown. Where did you read that? In a newspaper? Heard it on the radio? Someone said, well, communism has been overthrown. I haven't read where communism has been overthrown at all. I read where Mr. Gorbachev was put out, his resignation, he resigned, and Russia lost its strength, spoken of in the Iron Curtain falling. But communism hasn't gone out at all. As a matter of fact, your government is so infiltrated with communism till it's unreal. And so then there was another great doctrine in another part of the world, and that was in the southern part, which was another sea that's called Catholicism, and the power and strength of Catholicism, which has been a wind of doctrine that has swept over the world so powerful that nobody's been able to do anything with it. Those three doctrines. And then when you come to the Western world, as to another cone of the earth, there is another sea that is called capitalism. It is a religious fervency of capitalism. Someone would say, well, America is Christianism. The Bible said salvation is of the Jew. America is not Christianism. You tell me that America is Christian in the way that they do, and they indulge in the sports and all those things. Even Jesus himself said, as concerning the Gentiles, said they seek after the world in all of these things, and said, you don't want to do that, as he told the Jews. If the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. They are interested in money and security and education and pride and sports and all these things. And their capitalism as their government is on the verge of collapsing. But Jesus said, all of these things must come to pass. And he said to these angels, don't turn those winds loose. Don't turn them loose. So there has been a power that has held these winds back from actually really turning loose to dominate the earth. And as in the days of Daniel, it was the same vision that Daniel saw. The only difference was as to the revelation of Jesus Christ in Daniel's day, it was said, seal it up. Seal it up. But to John, it was said, see that ye seal it not. Because it was the time of the expose. So then it's very evident that these have never been released to clash yet. And they have to come into a world power as to one great army as to who can make war with him. And in this, the clash is coming. In this thing, it's coming. Right now, they're working together, but it's coming. And each one of these winds, and Daniel was wrestling over the waters, and John tells us that waters was people in the symbolism. So all of them was wrestling. Capitalism has tried to rule the world. Communism has tried to rule the world. And Christianism has tried to rule the world. And Catholicism has tried to rule the world. So then we know that the capitalism is one of them that's working from America trying to rule the world. Even Mr. Bush has pretty well done it at this period of time because of what it has to do with. Now, so just as quick as the church went out in Revelation, the book of Revelation, as to Revelation 7, as to the sealing, John said, I looked, and there was a great multitude in heaven that no man could number of all tribes of the earth, all people. Some people say, well, the yellow man can't be saved, and the black man can't be saved, and all of these ignorant things that issue forth from the bottomless pit of the demons that's in their heart. But the Bible said, of every tribe of the earth, of every people of the earth, of every nationality of the earth, and there was people that was there, and they were sealed, and they had come up through great tribulation. And I know when people say great tribulation, they say, well, Brother Pike, that's the people that come out of that great 7-year tribulation. It has nothing to do with the 7-year tribulation. This tribulation is what you're going through right now. The tribulation that you're going through right now as to the time of sorrow and the oppression and all of these kind of things. Someone would say, well, I'm eating, drinking, and I'm happy. I know, but others are burned to death. Others are brutally entreated. Others have their brains bashed out. Others have knives driven into them. Little girls are ravished. Little boys are taken away and they're put in dungeons. And people are putting cigarette ashes in their ears. And it's so horrible that it would take a long time just to bring about some of the ugly, evil things, as the man that was just killed here in Monroe, when they put him under the hot water and scalded him, and the little child that we heard about not too long ago where they scalded him to death, and these devils and brute beasts that's called human beings and called mothers and called fathers, they're doing these things, and they're brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And in the day of judgment, when that little one is alive, stand before God happy and whole and alive, then that devil mother and that devil father that will stand there filled with the devil, accounted for as to their filthy, gullible practices and evil debauchery, as beaten out of temper because of drink and dope and filth and mistreating, and the whoremonging mothers and the harlots and the whoremonging fathers, as to those that will stand there in the day of judgment to answer to God. Somebody says, Brother Pike, you make it sound bad. Folks, believe me when I tell you this. I don't make it sound bad at all. It's 10,000 times worse than what I'm saying. Just like when they cried for the rocks to fall on them just to hide them from the face of him before he ever had a chance to say anything to them, because they said, the day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to abide? Who shall be able to abide? Somebody said, well, the Christian. The Bible said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall them that practice religion be? Oh, the ungodly and the sinner. All right, and so then we see that those winds couldn't be turned loose, because when they are turned loose, what will happen? The blasting of the bonds and all of these things will bring forth the sounding of those trumpets, and it will cause the stars to fall out of heaven, and the earth will be shaken all to pieces, because it's cracked even under the bed. I've seen the map. Under the bed of the ocean is cracked all to pieces, and it's ready to fall apart any time. And all it's going to take is this thrust from those things when they tie up. But they could not do that until the Jews were sealed. And right now the church is on the verge of going out, and the Jew is on the verge of being sealed, that they will not be harmed by these locusts and things during that period. And so many things that we'd have to say tonight, it would take a long time to detail this and explain it. But there's one thing that we can remember. The church will go out. But folks, you keep looking for that thing, I tell you. You keep expecting something to happen to you that by some miraculous means, the mercy of God is just going to happen to you. When I tell you in the name of the Lord, it isn't going to happen to you at all. You're not going anywhere. You're going to be here right at that time of the beast, and you're going to be here at the time of that bumming, and you're going to be here at the time of that sorrow. You're going to be here at the time when those stars fall from heaven, and you're going to be here to gnaw your tongue for pain. And only the true elect of God that is already translated into the kingdom, that's already being programmed and processed from glory to glory inwardly as the child forming within the womb through the travail of the minister, only they will be ready, because it is only they that receive a diplomacy that has applied themselves, that has not been dropouts, but that has persevered through the teachings and the long struggling years as to get the corruption called knowledge, which the Bible says puffeth up. It is through their travail and perseverance. And the dropouts don't get it. And a lot of times they're very fortunate, because the dropouts are the rejected stones, and God suffered them to drop out because they were elect and children of God, and he didn't want all that garbage in their minds. So then we understand that those winds are going to be turned loose. And we understand that your rejected stones, where the Bible said, in the stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. And this is marvelous in our eyes. We think it's wonderful because it's the Lord's doings. So we see that the winds are ready to be turned loose. The church has been an invisible work. It has been as a thief in the night, in the darkness of your intellectual reasoning. He hath come in and he's caught his jewels away, and you didn't see it. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if he came, I would have seen him. The Bible said you will not see good when it cometh. You don't know anything about it. You don't have any part or lot in the matter, that you cannot comprehend this light, that with all of your learning, you've never found one tiny little bit of it. So then that means that you're completely shut out. And just as quick as the saints of God go away, the light's gone away, and you are sitting in total darkness, and like it was in my service, when this part over to my left was a gobble, 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 and the part over to my right still made sense and talked as to the wonderful things that was right. So then it is the dividing asunder by this message, and then the light being taken away as to the separation when the tutoring is over. And the beast are left to their gobble, gobble. So, with your lack of interest, and your lack of hunger, and your lack of drive, and your lack of thirsty, and your scrutinizing of your intellectual, corrupt way of life, as to thinking you know something when you don't know something as you ought to know, then your houses are left unto you desolate, because the days of the Gentiles are ending, and the days of the Gentiles are over, and you would not hear. And Jesus said, you would not listen to me that you might have eternal life. You would not hear. Someone would say, well, if he come and told me, the Bible said I send the ministry. As it was said of Abraham, if they won't hear the ministry, though one rose from the dead, they wouldn't hear him. And said, I've sent the ministry, and he that receiveth him that I sent receiveth me. He that rejecteth him that I sent rejecteth me. And with your hardness of heart, your stubbornness and rebellion of mind, your conceit as the self-will, and your intellectual confidence of self-esteem, you have become hard and callous. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as to the dove, doesn't even have any part or lot in your life. You're only fleshly ambitious as a believer because you've got goals to make in life. You've got zeal that you want to display, and you've got things that you want to do, and you want to go to heaven while you do all of this. But I tell you, it doesn't work like that. He that seeketh to save his life loses it. And that's what you're doing. You're seeking to save your life. So you are losing your life. And he that loseth his life for my sake, that is, giveth to me his body, that my mind may be in full control, he saveth his body and his life. Paul said, body, soul, and spirit blameless. He saveth it unto eternal life, and he hath the life as to the world to come. So in saying this in closing here, as it was with Lazarus, full of sores, rejected, no career. He didn't have any great place among the elite. He was just an old beggar as the dogs licked his sores. But he was God's elect, and he was God's prize, and he was God's precious one. But the rich man that was so famous and full of all of the things as to the stardom of today, as we would say, and all the kingly, priestly ways of life, that have all the things of goodness and education and understanding as to their own reasoning, as to who they are and what they are, God reject him and put him in hell and said, in your lifetime, you saved your life, but Lazarus lost his. In your lifetime, you had the good things. You had all the good things, and Lazarus likewise the bad. But now Lazarus is comforted, and thou art tormented. All right, let's stand together as we see the doors closing to the church ages. All of the burnings and all of these things, as everything comes around to the sounding of those trumpets, many things that the church should have already known, and Paul said, in that you should by now be teachers, you still have, as it is, the beginning of the principles of God that you have to be taught. And self-esteem and self-confidence as to who you are and what you are and what you're going to be because of who you think you are has crippled and has devastated your life to where you're really nothing. And you won't ever be anything, because the only way that you could ever be anything is for you to decrease and for him to increase. As John said, to decrease as to the outer man and as to the warfare, that the inner man might win. And then are you something? When you realize, as Paul said, that you're nothing and less than nothing. And he that is something begins to be seen. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Another day is come and gone. It is now on record as to who you are and what you are at the close of this day. And as to what you think and what you've done and what you've said. And as to where your interest has been during this day. And it is forever closed as to the book in your life as to this day. And you'll never pass this way again as to this day. And as Moses told them when they circled around the mountain at a certain place, observe, watch, do. He said, for you'll never pass this way again. Never will you pass through this day again. Never will you pass through the days of yesteryear. It's already gone and it's on record. And someone would say, I will correct it. There is no way to correct it. When you get the record with the law, you've got the record with the law. You shouldn't have done it because the law said, thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. So you done it while the law was telling you. And as it is stated in the world, there is no excuse for breaking the law as to ignorance, because the law is ever before you. All you can do is, like the songwriter said, the broken pieces. Pick up the broken pieces. Pick up the fragments. And trust to the great God of heaven that there's still some mercy. Because, folks, it's getting later and later. And the light is withdrawing. And God is leaving you this world a condition of darkness, so that you can have all that you wanted and all that you desired. He's leaving it with you, not to be a part of it anymore. Not to be a part of it anymore. And he's letting you have it. And of course, when you get it, it's with the screams, it's with the ravishing, it's with the beginning of sorrows, it's in the time of a tribulation. It is with the messy, gummy way that things are right now, when all of these horrors and all of these sorrows is at your door. As it is said in the song, Gentile days numbered with horrors encumbered, Israel return unto thine own. So he's going to pull away and take away the light. And you that were so tired of religion, and you that wanted to work out religion as to interweave this thing with the web of that life that you have so, through concupiscence, webbed up, he's going to leave it with you. But I'm telling you, as I tell you before, or have told you before, Jesus said, your life does not consist of the abundance of the things that you possess. And so then you're going to find out that things is the worst thing that ever happened to you without Jesus. Because things, as to the things of this world of vanity, hath a God who is a cruel ruler, and who is the grim reaper, and who subjects his subjects to torture. And as it was said, when he is cast out and he himself is put down into the confines of the bottomless pit, and they that are there with him, they said, and have ye also fallen? Ye that would not release your prisoners, that held your prisoners in such tight confine, have it come to this day that you are also come down to the sides of the pit? For he will be bound that 1,000 years. And the Bible said there will be peace and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So let's sing together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet,
precious Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest, it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. What can He do with a life that's steeped in sin? What can He do when you have no hope within? Lift up the fallen man down off the sinking sand to Calvary's saving plan. That's what He can do. What can He do for you? Oh, helpless, sad, and blue. He'll do what other friends can now. For here, every time you pray, drive all the clouds away, to turn the darkest night to day, and that's what He can do.
Let's sing this little chorus together. What can I give Him of all He has given? Oh, what can I give to my Lord? Earth is His footstool, and heaven is His throne. The cattle of the thousand hills, my Lord already owns. All that I have, it was His from the start. What can I give to the Lord but my heart? The altars are open as we sing. You're welcome to come. Let's sing this little chorus. Is that the lights of my home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, if that the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear all the angels sing with hearts of gold and a thousand. There's no close charm when I hear the song, sweet Beulah land, it's my home, sweet home. Is that the light home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? The Lord standing high on heaven's balcony. It's the lights of home,
a welcome sign to me. My heart cries out, oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keeps me satisfied. And the light up on my sea, do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's knee, it's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
Let's sing this little chorus together.
We'll overcome. We'll overcome. We'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, then I'll overcome someday. Gonna walk on the streets of gold, walk on the streets of gold, walk on the streets of gold someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll walk on the streets of gold. Sing it with me now. I'll overcome, yes, I'll overcome someday. If in my heart I can believe, I'll overcome someday.
Let's just lift our hands up. While we're standing here tonight, the Bible speaks of examining your soul to see if you're in the faith. For as it is said, in the latter time, many shall depart from the faith, as to faith by the hearing of the word, and they'll bring doctrines of devils, which doesn't have a faith, but rather a make-believe. And the Bible says, and they will depart from the faith, giving heed to the seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And they'll get past feeling to where it won't bother them. They'll say, it doesn't bother my conscience. You might not be able to do this, they say, but I can do this. I can do this and still love the Lord. I can do this and still believe the Lord. And so they deceive the heart of the simple, and they go out and they do that, and they come back and they prophesy and they say all kinds of things, and they come to church. Then they go back out and they wallow in the mire and they lap the vomit and they do their own thing all over again. And they say, God is still with me. And it indeed he is to this extent. The rain is on the terror and will continue to be. And it'll be so close it would deceive the very elect if possible. But you can be assured as to the child's doing, so he is. And if Christ was in there, he would always be doing the will of the Father and the things that please God. And inasmuch as you're not doing that, he is not in there. And you're only in the rain. And you don't have anything from God. And it'll all be brought about. After a while, the grace will be lifted, and you are one of those wandering stars that will fall from heaven. You'll fall from grace. There won't be any more illumination, won't be any more pouring out of the Spirit upon you, won't be any more blessings of God upon you. You'll never be in His presence anymore. Never again. So, as a shepherd that loves you and is trying to tell you the right thing and is trying to help you, I day by day try to tell you that you need to get right with the Lord. And I try to tell you that you need to serve the Lord. And I try to tell you that you cannot serve the Lord without His Spirit. That you must have His Spirit, because It takes an elephant spirit to live an elephant life, and it takes the lion to live a lion life, and it takes a human being to live a human being life, and it takes a devil to live a devil's life, and it takes Christ to live the life within you that is righteous and holy and godly and pure as to a God life. So let's sing together again. I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lilies, they're blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank you for the valleys I walk today. Thank you for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys walk today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? We ask the question, where will you be a million years from now? And as we count time, we'll still be around a million years from now, and things will still be going on. And somewhere, whether it is in the lake of fire, or whether it is in the paradise of His Shekinah glory, you'll be there. Won't be no starting over either place that you go. There won't be any starting over. It'll be forever, and it'll be eternal. Life is but few days and full of trouble. While we lift our hands together, coming to the close of another service, let's sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel he'll stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be. Sing that with me now. For time
shall be no more, no more, and thou shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be no more. So I want to praise him. I want to praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all ye people, for his blood that's washed away.
And one more time.
So I will pray. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give him glory, all people, for washed away.
Just one more time together. Let's sing this. And he was here all the time.
And he was here all the time. Waiting patiently in line, he was here all the time. And he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, that flood my soul. Something has happened, and now we know that Jesus touched me and he
ask Brother Tommy Clark to come and dismiss us. While Tommy's coming, let's sing another chorus together, coming. Let's sing this little chorus for him.
Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. While standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him, and you'll know him by the nail prints in his hand. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, come home. come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. When I was but a boy in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I could hear my mother call at set of sun. Come home, it's supper time. Shadows are lengthening fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going.
The songwriter said, in memories now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table is ready up in heaven, and it's supper time upon the golden shore. Let's sing that chorus again.
Come home. Come home, it's supper time.